David A. Price presents...
Welcome back, everybody. It's Marvel Noise. But this time the adult has left the room. Yes, it's just the three merry, madcap Marvelites. Myself, Andrew the Alley Rabbit, and our two Canadian Alpha Flight team members. Look at me pulling that out of nowhere. WRX Kev from the Icebox. Say hi, Kev.
Hello.
And from the Otter's Den, Department H, it's Phil the Ottawa Otter. Say hi, Phil.
Now that we're part of, like, our own network, is the ban lifted for me being on Marvel Noise?
It is, but we're still keeping Marvel Noise clean, Phil. You're going to be foiled. And right on cue with Marvel, I just unbagged a blind bag terminal number one. But I don't know what cover I got, so.
I don't know.
There you go, folks. Is. It's an image book. You'll know next Indie Noise.
You'll know next Indie Noise.
I'm not familiar with that publisher.
Yeah, they currently do them better than Marvel. But why we're here today. We need all our... obviously, the adult Super Steve is not here. He's off battling the Wendigo. See, I can use that because that's a Marvel character. No, that's a Marvel character. But I
thought he only Wendigo on Indie. And why not do something Spider-Man themed?
Oh, he's off battling Jack-O-Lantern.
There we go. That's spooky.
Which is a character I don't think we cited to any issues of in our best of fun old Spider-Man comics to read. So this time, we couldn't get Phil on the last one. So we brought Phil back onto this one. Because, you know, Phil reads Spider-Man. He likes Spider-Man.
Mm-hmm.
So, Phil... I do. Yeah, what sort of Spider-Man titles would you recommend to the excitable young listener of today?
All right, I thought you guys said five, so I picked like five of them kind of thing.
Phil, spoiler alert, I blew way past my five. I used my five, your five, all the old contributors' fives. It was not good. Not good, Phil. I need a structured environment.
So my first one is, this is a storyline that ran through, just the normal Spider-Man title, just called Spider-Man, issue 18 to 23, which was The Revenge of the Sinister Six. I don't know if you guys read that one, but it was Dr. Octopus puts a team together with Sandman, Mysterio, Hobgoblin, Vulture, and Electro.
And this is the Spider-Man title that was launched in the 90s with Todd McFarlane.
Yeah, he only did to 14. One, right? I think he did to 14. So this is by Eric Larson, this run. And the cool thing about it was not only Spider-Man, it was the Hulk, Deathlok, Ghost Rider, Sleepwalker, Nova were all in this story too. So it was just a really fun... I don't remember too many of the details, but I remember Sandman going good. Which is I'm always a big fan of Sandman being good.
So am I. He was he's great.
I loved him in The Thing. Yeah.
Like I love him as a bad guy and as a good guy. Like he can work on both sides flawlessly. Yeah. Really fun character. Also that classic design with the striped shirt and everything.
Yeah.
Always makes me laugh.
I know, but at the same time I don't mind it. But it does can look very funny for sure. But yeah, that was a really fun story. But then, I think I got to trash my list, though, because then Kevin hit me with something very deep, and it hurt me. He said my other ones wouldn't count because I was going to do Spider-Man Tangled Web. And the issues I like, Spider-Man's not in it. So he's right. So I'm going to go a different way. Some of my favorite Spider-Man stories are actually not necessarily in Spider-Man. It's more like some of his crossovers or guest star issues. And in the 90s, he had so many. He was all over the place.
Yeah, in our first one, Phil, we talked a lot about how Spider-Man is a great player for other characters to play off of.
Yeah. And And he was in a lot of series. And I don't know if you guys talked about many of his 90s stuff.
Not really. We
That's what I figured, because you guys aren't really into that. But for me, the 90s, even though people hate on it a lot.
There's a reason.
Starting the 90s is some of my favorite stuff. It had the best X-Men.
Phil's using all five on the Clone Wars.
No. That's when it gets bad, when it gets to Clone Wars and all that. But like, we had the best X-Men. We had freaking right, like the Jim Lee stuff and all that that goes further. We had all those X books, like X Factor, Excalibur. You know,
I mean, their best stuff was like that was in the 80s. So
everyone loves X-Men 97 now or whatever. That's like on 90s X-Men. You know,
of the stuff for that, it's like bordering 00's X-Men. Like Morrison is not 90s X-Men.
Yeah, but to be in defense of Phil, it may not have been everyone's favorite, but those titles sold a lot of comics in the beginning.
I mean, yes, they sold a lot of comics, but was that the best X-Men? No. Was it popular? Yes.
For me, it was the best X-Men. Like, I got all my Gambit stuff, you know, before Gambit got lame when he married Rogue.
Well, I'm glad you like that better than the Claremont Byrne X-Men.
You know, I like that stuff too, but for me, yeah, that's not what. Like, for me, I don't know. The start of the 90s.
More than the Morrison X-Men and.
That's Ghost Rider stuff. For sure. The Danny Ketch and Johnny Blaze, you know, Ghost Rider in the 90s. For me, that's the best of that. Well, it didn't last long, but the start of it was awesome.
I mean, I think Andrew can tell you why the 90s is problematic.
Well, for me, that's when, like, the Clone Wars, all that kind of stuff, like, and on. Like, that's when it started getting really bad. But before that, there's some really cool stuff.
One of my other beefs, and it started in the 80s, was just crossing so many crossovers that it makes it really hard. If you're just reading one title, they're almost useless because it's just... And they
you're
did some
hate
of
my
that
list.
In the 80s, where it's just like, oh, you got to read this issue of X-Men, then this issue of Uncanny, then this issue of New Mutants, and this, you know, and
yeah,
everything,
but then you got
something.
But then you got something like the Executioner song, and
I
loved that at the time.
Yes, I liked it at the time and everything. But would I tell someone now, it's the best X-Men? There's no way I would try to convince someone that's the best X-Men.
You are so angry today, Kevin.
I'm just dropping truth bombs just on everyone today.
Before we were even recording, you came into this so angry.
That's because people can't handle the truth.
All right, I'm going to go on with my list.
Yeah, okay, we had Spider-Man, the 90s series, 18 to 24, the Sinister Six saga.
But after that, I ripped up my list because I'm going a different way now.
Oh.
So this first one is, it's called Spirits of Venom. It was in Web of Spider-Man 95, 96, and Ghost Rider Blaze Spirits of Vengeance 5 and 6.
And good luck finding those.
Uh-huh. No, those are in books. Yeah, those are reprinted in books and stuff. But this was a really fun one because for me, like I say, Danny Ketch and Blaze, like that period, I love them. And you got like Demigoblin. I think Hobgoblin was in this story. You know, Spider-Man from the Infinity War, his clone thing with the six arms. Yeah, that's it. And possibly one other. And then Venom, of course. But I think they're like kind of chasing Venom at first through the sewers. And then Venom kind of teams up with them or something against the others.
I have no idea anymore.
And that was that's a four-parter right there. And it's one. Yeah. It's just those four comics, or is it also?
Yeah, it's just those
more?
Four. Okay. It's just
that's
those four.
That's not bad at all. It's just
these are very small ones. Yeah.
The clones thing got into where like a ton of it. It just kept kind of rolling around. So
these are just little team ups. Like these are little team ups. I'm not talking about like this. And this is like 1991 kind of stuff.
Okay, so before. Okay.
Way before. Like I say, I don't like the clone. I never read the Clone Wars. Like that's way before. I stopped before.
I've tried to read some of it, but it's just hard trying to find that the right order and getting the issues. And also it's very stylized in a way that is jarring if you're not used to how things looked in the, because it started with, you know, McFarlane and Larson and Liefeld having these kind of extreme looks, and then it felt like it just kept going more and more.
Yeah,
and
that's more. Why that's when Marvel and DC got bad. But like the start of the 90s, I'm telling you, they were peak. Like we got the funny Justice League, you know.
I don't know what that comic is, Phil.
the Giffen one. There,
pretending like I don't understand DC comics.
All right, Kevin's gonna hate my next one on the list. It's a Spider-Man and X-Force crossover that happened in Spider-Man number 16 and X-Force number 4.
Is this the cool thing where Juggernaut gets a sword in the eye and he collapses the World Trade Center?
I don't remember the details, but I do remember any Juggernaut story is a good story.
Okay.
I don't care what anyone says. And the cool thing about these ones, I think they were sideways, if I remember correctly.
The miscolored issue?
Now you lost me, Phil. I hate the sideways.
I don't know. I kind of liked them as a kid because I had a Fantastic Four one I remember I enjoyed. And you don't see it often, right? But you're right. Marvel's like, you wouldn't want every issue like that. And so that's just a fun Juggernaut story. And then there was in Spider-Man 25 where he has a crossover with Excalibur against Arcade. That one was okay. Oof. But the best part was I didn't like that one too much, but the best one was Excalibur number 53, where it was a Captain Britain and Spider-Man story where they're roommates in like university or something. And it's not really like actiony superhero. It's more about like Captain Britain kind of having like a drinking problem or something like that. And Spider-Man ends up being kind of like Peter Parker, like a good role model on him. And in the end, he ends up like kicking him out of the place or something like that. But it ends up turning him around. But that was a really good one, I remember. But I know Kevin said to the first one.
No, the issue 25.
So, yeah.
Spider-Man. I've never read that Excalibur issue.
But the Excalibur one is worth getting for sure. If you guys ever see that.
This is the Excalibur, the first series. What was that issue number again?
53. And you don't need the Spider-Man 25 to read it at all. It's just, it's two tales, you know, kind of with Spider-Man and Captain
Britain connected. 1992 looks like James Fry, Chris Ivy, Scott Lobdell. Okay. Yeah. Strangely enough, I actually mentioned the team up, which was the first import version of Captain Britain when he came over with and he had, I don't know if you ever saw his old kind of, looks like it's got the dragon on it and he had the staff and everything. It was a very unique look, and he went and got streamlined and went more looking like kind of a Captain America style with a more regular, but that first Captain Britain outfit I'm always fond of, even though it's,
I know, me too.
Garish.
I've always been a big Captain Britain fan. So yeah, I like his costumes.
And I did like Excalibur. I mean, I wasn't at that point.
I love Excalibur.
I was just about getting out of comics in those early 90s. Mm-hmm. But that, when Excalibur dropped at the end of the 90s, it was a great title because I felt, while it was in, I felt like you could also kind of read it without being too locked into X. And
it was more
standalone-y than some of the other books had been. But I should probably pick up from like 50 to the end. I don't know that I've ever read those.
Well, no, I'd say more reread 1 to 50 and the one shots or whatever. Because after,
I mean, I've read those before.
Or maybe sometime after 75, it gets really rough.
Yeah, I don't think there's some rough moments.
Yeah, so but the friggin' first parts, so good.
Maybe I'll have to pencil in a Excalibur 51 to 100.
I read Excalibur quite a bit, so I would totally do that with you.
Oh, nice.
Are they all in Marvel or Marvel the app?
I'll have to check. I have the Omnibus for that, actually.
I have the Omnibus
for that. Well, if they have the Omnibus, it should be on there. Although I feel like for our Spider-Man segment, we're really banging a lot of titles that he appeared in but isn't the heart.
I'm pretty sure all mine are on the app, as far as I know.
Okay.
I'm pretty sure. Good. Yeah. And then, so I got two more. So the next one, Avengers 311 to 318. That's where Spider-Man guest starred in every one of those issues. And it was a story about Nebula. So they were in space. So this is Nebula before the Infinity Gauntlet, I believe, and the Silver Surfer issues, where she got all kind of different and stuff. But So this is like her like trying to get like a cosmic cube or some type of thing like that. But it's a lot of fun, a very good fun space story, you know. Spider-Man's in quite a few Avenger issues right there. I don't know if you guys ever read that one.
I do. Again,
You
this
guys
is
must have.
I was still reading then. It was like on the edge of me leaving, but I always had a soft spot for some of the lineups they had then, and they still had some pretty good art teams were right there because I think Paul Ryan was somewhere and Tom Palmer in that era. I mean,
Did we
maybe it was
cover
right
that?
after that. We covered the bit right before, I believe, which is where her early appearance and some of that stuff. But I don't know that we went all the way there. I think we were more late, like the 200s. Like, I'm pretty sure we did, like the after 250, because that's where you have a lot of the crazy. I love the big Terminus guy. He's in those issues and
I thought
Fire
Steve
Lord.
covered Nebula's
I could see
Oh,
Steve would join
maybe
that
he
because
did.
he's we like the cosmic stuff, right? So it fits right up our alley.
But I mean, Steve's covered everything except for all the Secret Wars 2 crossovers. So I mean, you know, we can't be limited by that. And I know we did some of the big war there where they all got in a fight.
Oh,
I don't remember
Operation
what
Blood
issues there was.
Storm.
Yeah.
Oh, that, you know what? I've only read parts of that one. I've always wanted to read the whole thing.
Yeah, I remember we did that as a segment. But anyways, yeah, Avengers 311. Who doesn't think of Spider-Man when you think of the Avengers?
And well, that's he didn't really become a member though till like Wally
No, he
Bendis,
did
isn't it?
not. I was being a jerk.
Because I was gonna say, I don't know, I never thought of that.
No, I
Then my
like because
la
that's a fun era. It's got like Peggy Carter and all that. Like, it's a fun Avengers.
Then my last one is Fantastic Four 347 to 349. Can you guess what that is?
Is that the alternate Fantastic Four with the Ghost
Yeah, the
Rider and all
new
that?
exactly the new Fantastic Four with Ghost
Okay.
Rider, Joe Fixit, and Wolverine. Or was it Patch or Wolverine? I forget.
I think it was
Same
full
thing though.
Wolverine. Yeah. No, I think they wanted the full.
Basically, yeah, and a cameo from Punisher, which was like one panel or something like that. But I remember they have a cameo of Punisher on one of the covers. And it was like nothing. He just flew up to the island, Monster Island, and then flew away. But yeah, basically, I think like the new Fantastic Four formed because they think the Fantastic Four were murdered or something like that. And then they end up in like the Monster Island with the Mole Man and all that stuff. But it's a lot of fun. It's by Arthur Adams, isn't it?
Yeah, at
Drawn by
least the
him, I
covers
believe.
are.
Yeah. I'm pretty sure he does the insides too, but I could be wrong.
Yeah, I
But
think so. Because
that's a
that some of the
fun
that
story.
348 cover is pretty iconic.
Yeah. So yeah, so those are just so for me it's more like little crossovers or guest star issues. You know, I had a lot of fun. Like he was in Dark Hawk, you know, like you name it. And Spider-Man was showing up everywhere in the 90s. Any series.
Yeah, it was kind of fun when they did that. That fun that the fake Fantastic Four with
Yeah,
you're
it was
right
only
they
three
you're right
issues.
they do need the Punisher because that's what I think of when I think of gratuitous cameos of the late
Yeah.
80s early 90s. It's maybe I would have probably had Punisher instead of Hulk. I feel like he was the guy they splash in sales or trouble. I mean, Spider-Man's always been the you're having sales problems or something, throw Spidey on the cover and that'll at least get bump you up a little bit. But
Yeah.
all right, that's a pretty good list. Kevin, what do you think?
He hated it. He hated all of
Anyhow, people saw a movie
Yes,
or didn't see a movie.
Spider-Man related movie. Yes, we're talking about Sony's Spider-Man cartoon movie number three. No, I'm joking. That thing's never coming
Well,
out.
with the special effects these days, they're almost cartoons
Yeah, you're right.
sometimes.
I bet you there's more. I bet you there is no shots in that film that don't have some, you know, they took out a billboard or something because, you know, they don't want to have any of the wrong advertising or something. So I remember there was an effects guy talking about one of his jobs was just it was a period piece. So he had to erase certain like cell phone towers and stuff out of backgrounds
Well,
because they can't have anachronistic tech if it's supposed to take place in 1975 or whatever.
Well, and just alone, too, isn't Spider-Man filmed in London this time, I thought?
It's also filmed in Ontario.
Oh, really? Okay. So they probably had to do a lot just to make it look like New York.
Or yeah, yeah. I've heard that good things grow there.
In Ontario?
I've heard you say that often.
They don't grow Ontario. Long because we're basically winter here all year long.
You know, you're not familiar, Phil, with the song and the statements.
You know I'm not. You know I don't like Canada.
It's so weird. I know more Canadian propaganda.
You do.
At least I can count on Kevin for his patriotism.
And then pretty soon he's going to have the Littlest Hobo on here.
We're totally. Although I have no interest in rewatching that show. It looks pretty. It was a time and a place when you could have a dog solving crimes that can't speak. Yeah. But
all you need now is just the theme song.
Yeah.
He's going to have Little House on the Prairie on here. He's going to have Hammy Hamster on here.
They rebooted Little House on the Prairie. So I think it's on Netflix or they somewhere. Did? Yeah, they did a new one.
Didn't even know.
Or Apple or one of them streaming. But we're here to talk about a different streaming service, and that's web streaming.
We are.
Spider-Man.
Wow, I don't know.
I can segue out of anything and into anything. It's my superpower.
Well, weren't they supposed to make movies cheaper by using all this tech and everything? Doesn't seem to have worked.
No, I don't. Yeah, I don't. I don't really. I'll be honest with you. I don't typically follow like box office and budgets. I mean, sometimes it crosses my path just, you know, as a point of pop culture or whatever. But I don't follow that stuff like I used to. There were some fun things in the old days when, you know, you'd look open Variety and see the box office tallies and everything. But nowadays, that seems less interesting.
Well, apparently they still do it.
Oh, for sure. I mean, that's how you got to do all your bragging rights and everything.
Well, they might want to change that at some point if they want to be bragging in the future.
But we're talking about the new Spider-Man movie, Farfignugan or whatever the hell it's. I really, just telling my wife, I wish they just put numbers on these stupid things. I hate Home and Away from Home and Home and Away and Away, Home, Home, Away.
They are a little too similar, but obviously they did that on purpose, I guess. But
yeah, I know, but I don't think it's clever. I'm an old man. I need things simple. I don't need clever wordplay in my movie titles. But
what they need is some titles like Maximum Carnage or or Executioner's Song. Then you would know which movie is which.
That's exactly. Kevin taking digs at me right now.
No, I think the 90s. I would have totally liked it if it was Spider-Man, Executioner's Song. That would certainly make me curious about what's going to happen in that thing. Or no, we're talking about a Brand New Day, released in 2026, a Sony/Disney joint. Although I think it's like 99%. So I don't know. To be another thing I don't follow, I don't understand the Spider-Man universe sharing agreements either. Because I'm always curious from not enough to dig into it, but curious about how those, like what characters, they clearly have, you know, Spider-Man and Aunt May and Gwen Stacy and some of those. But as you get further out.
Are you saying why haven't you seen Puma yet?
Well,
Puma.
Puma's a fair. That one I would put in Spider. I'm thinking Puma. More like, is Kingpin? Because he's been in some Daredevil movies, but I always think of Kingpin as a Spider-Man guy.
He was in this movie.
No.
That's where he debuted in Spider-Man.
He was in this movie. He was on a poster.
Well, they did have Tombstone, another Spider-Man guy. And the Scorpion, obvious Spider-Man guy, but it's more the.
I'm with Kevin, though. I never thought of Kingpin as a Spider-Man character. I preferred him as a Daredevil character.
That's where he debuted.
I don't know if I would say preferred, but Kingpin began as a Spider-Man guy, became a Daredevil guy, and then became a general street-level villain guy. But he never transcended to a Marvel Universe guy like a Doctor Doom.
Because I always love transposing his statement and doing it the wrong way by saying, don't mistake my bulk for fat. Well, I like, don't mistake my fat for bulk.
I don't know if he says you saw
in his intro episode, because, you know, in the issue, because they're like, well, who's this big fat guy? And he's like, ah, not fat. And then he beats up a bunch
Andrew's,
of dudes.
People tuned in for Brand New Day, and Andrew's just careening off the cliff repeatedly.
One more thing before. I don't know if you saw, Andrew, but you almost got your dream because the director was saying how they almost put Paste Pop Pete in the movie. And that was probably your only chance to get a live-action version of him.
Well, that's another question. I was, because in my head, he debuted as a Human Torch. So if I was
really? Okay.
Yeah, he was a Human Torch guy. So I'm like, wouldn't that be in that family? But as I said, I don't understand how those rights or how you decide, unless it's obvious part of the Spider family. But yeah, Paste Pot Pete was a Torch villain. And same with the Beetle, although again, fought Spider-Man and all
are
that
you talking,
sort of stuff.
Are you talking Android Human Torch, though?
No, I'm talking young
Fantastic
Johnny
Four.
Storm. Yeah, okay. He was the Paste Pot Pete guy. Because remember, they were doing those solo split books with Torch.
Oh, wait, was he in the Fearsome Five or whatever, or Fearsome Four?
Yeah. He was the counter.
Yeah,
and he was before then. He was, because I think that was when, I think when he teams up, he becomes the Trapster then, or at least has the new look where he doesn't look like a painter with a bucket of paint, but it's really his paste. That's his new armor look. Anyways, we're getting far afield from Brand New Day, the 2026 Spider-Man movie. As we left off in continuity, Spider-Man's alter ego had been erased from the memory of everybody. And with Aunt May gone, that was his only family. But now Ned Leeds, not the Hobgoblin Ned Leeds, doesn't remember him, his best friend from school, and his high school sweetheart MJ does not remember him.
But he is literally
waiting for them to
fully alone
Mary Jane
now.
Yes, fully alone, sad boy. But what I was unsure of is, did that mean that nobody knew Spider-Man? Like, did he have to reestablish Spider-Man as an identity? The movie sort of has it go that, like, we get kind of the beginning of it is just he's a street level guy, and it's a fun montage with him beating up various street level dudes because they want time to progress so that they can have Spider-Man be lonely for a while. Also, because the actor that plays his buddy Ned decided to lose a bunch of weight so he could do movies with The Rock and everything. Yeah, that movie was okay, but I mean, was it worth losing fat Ned? No, it wasn't. You guys ever see that one that he did with The Rock? And
no, I didn't know that.
Nope.
Who's the guy from Guardians of the Galaxy, the wrestler guy?
Dave,
that actor, Dave Bautista.
Bautista, yeah.
Like in The Rock. No, it was Jason Momoa. That was who. Jason Momoa, Dave Bautista, and Ned. And they, you know, it's like an action movie vehicle. It was fun, mm-hmm. You know, but you can, from the template, you can guess, like, Momoa and Bautista are brothers trying to figure out a mystery. They're sort of estranged, and Ned's the kind of go-between, although obviously he has a different character name, but I can't remember the actor's name. Sorry, buddy. But
nobody does. It's okay.
This features also a little bit of sampling of the MCU. We have significant cameos by the Punisher and the Hulk. So kind of a mishmash. Phil, we're getting pretty close to your... We just need Ghost Rider for your Fantastic
Four. Hey.
Now,
well, you're right, because the thing that excites me most about this movie is the Punisher interacting with Spider-Man and the Hulk.
Yeah, it was much like the Marvel Universe's Punisher. This Punisher is also all over the place in how extreme they want to portray him. You know, from his one-shot TV show where he murders all those dudes to this one where he's more the grumpy uncle-style Punisher and played a bit more for laughs. I mean, it's all the same actor, but I always felt that in the comics, too. Sometimes the Punisher can be Punisher Max, or he can be guy firing mercy bullets that just knock you out type of thing, you know? It's a, mm-hmm. I don't really mind it, but it is just funny that that character's kind of, I mean, all these characters are obviously different depending on the creative team, but I felt like he really is all over the place in a way that is unusual.
For me, I don't actually like the Punisher, but I love the Punisher in comics when he interacts with superheroes, especially if he gets the upper hand on them or something. So that's why, for me, it excites me so much in the movie. So just seeing
I think you'll enjoy it. Yeah. I was pleased with the action sequences. I thought they were fun. You also get a brief cameos of some of Spider-Man's villains, almost reminiscent a little bit more.
Villains not spoiled yet in trailers or anything?
There'll be spoiler warnings all throughout this. So if you watch the movie first.
Oh, no, the internet spoiled everything a week ago. Okay. So it's okay.
Tombstone is in it for a hot second.
Yeah, that was known, though. Yeah.
Scorpion and the Hand and... some of them have these different fights, and it's kind of fun seeing Spider-Man. And I thought they did, like I said, I thought the choreograph was interesting and fun. I mean, a few tropes I don't like. They always have the scene where he has to take the mask off and have some action for a little bit.
Yeah, like in Endgame, I hate when they come through the portals and they all take their masks off, you know, when they're about to go to war.
Yeah, so that part. Yeah. But that's also just... what you get in them. They're paying Tom Holland a lot of money. Everyone likes Tommy, so they're not going to just have him in a mask the whole time. We also see the introduction of Jean DeWolf, the police informal liaison with Spider-Man, because Spider-Man's working the street beat. But I was like, when I heard DeWolf, I was like, yikes. People that listen to my suggestion title, I include a prominent Jean DeWolf storyline where by the title, you know, it doesn't work out great for her. So I will say my wife liked it more than I did, but I thought they did a pretty decent job. There were bits I liked. I thought they kind of copped out on the ending a little bit and had a few rough edges. But for a long movie, I was not bored. Which I will say, sometimes these films, I'm kind of looking at a clock in my head at times where I'm kind of tapping my wrist, but I thought they did a pretty good mix of action and thought pieces. I don't know, some of the bits at the end, I felt they could have made harder choices. But I like that we now have a Spider-Man who isn't looking to run away from his problems in the same way that we saw with in the earlier movies, where he's looking to kind of get out of the gig. And there's some, you know, sad bits about him. As you noted, Phil, he's alone. And that's pretty depressing. But I think Mark Ruffalo's fun, always fun when he shows up. And there is a mystery villain, which I'm sure the internet, I think, is spoiled by now.
There is no villain in this movie.
Oh, she's a villain, Kevin. She's always a villain.
There is no villain.
And mutants are always the problem, Kevin. Yeah, so she's the one I also didn't like that they're pretty unpleasant. I did feel like it's pretty easy. Spider-Man is immune to her powers for some plot reasons, which is fine. But it's pretty rich that he's fine letting all that go. Where I think the comics have long recognized that, you know, mental possession is a pretty serious breach of etiquette. So the comics usually wisely, the good ones always make consent and all that stuff a big deal, where the bad guys are the ones that, because it is disturbing to be taken over by someone else and used in that. It's almost like a violation of a very fundamental sort. More, I would argue, even than just getting pushed to the ground or something. It's taking your autonomy away.
Well, and all your thoughts and secrets and everything.
And who you are. Yeah. So they do that. And our introduction to the two characters, when they go to their flashback, they do it very cavalierly, like it's just for amusement. And I'm like, that's not generally what we associate with heroes. It felt more like they were the cuckoos than they were the good people. And I was like, and I get it, but I don't know. I would have preferred... I don't mind a little more simple morality in these things. So I would have liked her to have had that comic book code of like the telepath types don't violate people for casual reasons or whatever. It's, you know, meant to be this burdensome power where you're trying to carefully weigh all those things. So that's why I say she was kind of a villain and not very likable. But Spider-Man, of course, does the right thing. Always. And that's always nice, too. I do like that no matter what he goes through, when he's wrong or does the right thing. And we saw that in the last one when, you know, he kind of wants to kill Harry Osborn, and then one of the other Spider-Men stops him, and then he realizes that's not the right way to go about doing things. So I enjoyed it. Kevin, I'm talking a lot here and not hearing you chiming in.
Well, that's because I don't want to derail your thought process there as you're making your way through the movie. This could have been an all-timer, I think, if they would have finished the Spider-Man movie. Because I was like watching the beginning of the movie, I'm like, wow, this is pretty great so far. Like, you do all your Spider-Man stuff. I know I saw some chatter that it was Ditko Spider-Man, but I mean, maybe that was just people being silly. I don't know. I thought it was more like 70s, 80s Spider-Man, which is kind of a really good sweet spot. So I mean, I was happy in this era of no one watching movies anymore. And the movie's all being terrible, apparently. I thought it's great that, and I also say don't market to me, but I always thought, you know, some characters that don't need a full movie, you can just throw in.
I agree with you.
And they did that, like in Fantastic Four, they did that again. And I'm like, cool, because there is a character you didn't mention that's in this movie that definitely does not need a movie. And I was glad that we just got some of those guys out of the way. I'm like, yeah, exactly. You can do this. I'm glad you know how to do this perfectly at this point.
Oh, I thought you were talking about the Hulk. I'm like, yeah, I like the Hulk as a supporting guy. He doesn't need his own movie. He's fine.
Well, this is the thing. Before, it was like, oh, I thought like this was going to be... You hear what the movie could potentially be, and I'm trying to avoid spoilers. So you hear,
ahead and spoil it.
Movie with the Hulk. And I'm like, that didn't sound good. Good thing that's not what this movie is. Turned out to be a totally different type of movie, which is weird because I'm like, you should have written the Spider-Man movie. It's weird because some of the moments in this movie are as good as the best Spider-Man movie moments I've seen. So I'm like, if you would have wrote the main plot around a Spider-Man villain, I mean, this could have been like the best Spider-Man movie I've ever seen.
What were some of those moments that you liked?
Well, just him being like not being a loser, but you know, being alone, and then him fighting like you know his bit villains, and the whole Gene the Wolf, like all this stuff was adding up perfectly. I mean, it's a little there's little questionable things that if you want to pick at stuff, just like how is he making any income?
Yeah, but anyhow, but I also figured. He's smart enough that he could have figured, you know, he's got billions of dollars worth of tech in his rundown apartment. He could figure out. So I wasn't going to let that.
Well like you, I probably I had that find question. That out next movie.
Yeah, I had that question, but I was also they didn't need to weigh him down with we've seen that where he's working for the newspaper, a delivery guy, like that grind. Yeah, we've had that story. So I was fine shelving it.
Like maybe the Avengers were giving him money. I don't know. Like, obviously, they didn't want to waste their time on all this other stuff. Like, there's the movies that explain every single thing, and you're like, wow, you didn't need to waste your time on that. So some stuff, it just set up, we just move forward, and then you don't really think about that much, and you just, you know? So I'm like, fine, whatever, we can do a little bit of compression here instead of decompression.
Yes, I was fine. Like, you can't beat everything to the ground, and I feel like those notes have been told much in the same way they decide to skip his origin. You know, like sometimes I feel like if something's covered in other movies, you can cover it if you want, but you don't have to cover everything because, man, we only got so much life to live. You know what I
mean? Yeah, yeah. So, I mean, a lot of this stuff, I'm like, wow. And then we go into some questionable territory with some web shooters and all that stuff, and I'm like, I'm like, I guess we can do this, but why are we doing this? And then sort of like the mystery villain plot. And I'm like, oh, I'm like, yes, Spider-Man can be in those stories, but usually his best known stories are like, it's usually with his villain and a street level thing. So I'm thinking, yes, you can do that. But I'm like, we could have done something else. And I know he'll have other movies, and maybe this will just be a blip, but it has serious Iron Man 2 energy, where there's things in Iron Man 2 I absolutely love, are some of the best stuff ever. But then it's like it gets taken over by MCU setup stuff. And I'm just like, oh, man. Yeah. Like, we could have done the rest of that story.
Agree to disagree. So I kind of feel like... I'm not a big Iron Man 2 fan, but I like Whiplash. I just wish he looked like Whiplash. And not like Mickey Rourke.
Like the race car track with Whiplash, and then the whole red and silver armor. Like, there's so much in there I just love.
Yeah, but if that had been... But I'm like, if that had been classic Whiplash, I'm with you. But I don't like the Mickey Rourke.
He looks so bad in that movie. So bad.
Like, give him the hat and the whip.
It doesn't really matter. As long as you get to Armor Wars in that movie, it doesn't really matter. But you never get to Armor Wars. That plot is still there.
But
so I'm like, it's everything's going to hinge on this mysterious villain type of thing. And it's unfortunately like, oh, and the Punisher stuff. I'm like, yeah, this seems like a 70s, 80s,
yeah,
you know, Marvel Universe Spider-Man thing. He runs into the Punisher. Of course he does. So I'm like, that's perfect. I'm like, it's amazing that they knew how to write Peter Parker and Spider-Man so well that I'm like, if they could not, I just wanted them to finish their Spider-Man movie. I mean, granted, other times I view Spider-Man villains, they do not work out well, or they don't know how to write them properly. But I'm like, they wrote everything else well that I'm like, man, if you could have finished your movie, maybe it would have been my favorite Spider-Man movie.
I avoided spoilers, but when he started changing, I thought that we were setting up the Moreland stuff and all that.
Yeah, the other.
I was going to that.
Yeah.
I think maybe because Steve just talked about all that on the pub. I was like, whoa, that's an interesting way to go. And they're not doing that.
What do you mean by not finished?
Because he got taken over by setting up other MCU stuff for like part of the movie.
Phil, we've put spoiler, but do you want the spoiler?
Yeah, I don't know. Mm-hmm. Do you want me to
I don't care about that stuff if it helps you explain.
Oh, okay. It became an X-Men movie.
The mysterious bad was Jean Grey. She's the one.
Well, we knew that. I
didn't know that going.
I mean, that story is fine. Yeah, they don't want to have an X-Men prequel movie. They don't want to have a Jean Grey movie. But also, I'm like... And also, the thing is, people be like, oh, they had all these other characters in the movie because they don't want him to be alone. Cameos or team-ups, I'm fine with. It can still be a Spider-Man movie. But that was a bridge too far. You spent all this time on the X-Men, basically.
I agree in a way, because that I don't want an X-Men to like necessarily be a bad guy to start off. But I think they should have went maybe with, instead of doing that, putting Kitty Pryde in instead, but as a teammate, like an ally, you know, maybe.
I just think that everything else in the movie is so good that I'm like, if Mr. Negative would have been here or something, I'm like, this could have been like an all-timer for me. Because every Spider-Man movie, it's weird. It's like they do something where I'm just like, oh, that doesn't feel like the Spider-Man to me. I mean, I know I'm more critical of Spider-Man. And
because
everything like that, but I have a specific vision because I've read so many of what Spider-Man can do. And if people are like, well, maybe you're never gonna see that. Like, I'm seeing that Spider-Man in cartoons. He just doesn't cross over into the movies.
And you got to think too, with Doomsday coming out, this is kind of their chance, right, to connect things.
I thought they had a real big chance. Okay, the dramatic setup is we find out it's Jean Grey. She's super powerful. She's been wronged by the government, and her power has just been upped. And so Spider-Man wants to confront her to say, hey, you know, don't kill everyone in the city. That's bad. That's not going to help you. And the Punisher is set up with a sniper rifle. And I was like, they had so many interesting ways. I would have been much happier with a movie where the Punisher either kills Jean Grey or Spider-Man. because then they can end the Tom and Holland Spider-Man, that's so weird. And then bring a new Spider-Man, so bring like Miles or whatever in.
Well,
or
that's so weird.
It is Miles next. They've already pretty.
Yeah, that's why I was like, oh, that Miles would end. Next. That would be a great. Tom Holland's been a great Spider-Man. I think he's, and in fact, I think he's bad in the oddest. Like every time I see him in other movies, to me, I feel like, I mean, he's what, 40 years old and he plays a convincing 22-year-old. Like that's not bad. Like that's like that Matthew Broderick. There's a few of those guys or the Karate Ralph Macchio who have that ability that they just look really young and they can make that work as a, or sometimes when they get, you know, Tobey Maguire or whatever, and you're like, I don't think he's in high school. Like, shouldn't someone call the cops that this adult is in high school pretending to be 15 or whatever? Like, it's not right. So on a sort of simple level, and that's not fair to the actors, because, you know, I watch plenty of stuff where people play, you know, It's a Wonderful Life. George Bailey, he plays all the way from high school up through being an old man, and it's the same actor or anything, but neither here nor there. I would have preferred that end of it. But yeah, I mean, whoa, they could have ended the Tom Holland with the Punisher taken out Spider-Man and walking away. Weird. Like that would have been a grim.
So weird.
I mean, but that's in line with the Punisher.
And now's the time for them to do that because they can reset it all with Secret Wars, right?
Exactly. So. And get your miles in. And he's had a good...
That's what people don't like.
The other thing is he's had a good long run as Spider-Man. He's had 4 movies, loads of cameos. Like, are people going to be like, oh, he didn't get a real... It's not like the actor that died or whatever who didn't get much of a chance. Like, he's done this role and now he can move on to do the next... I mean, I still like him, but that would have been a more interesting choice. Or he takes out Jean Grey, and then that drives a wedge between him and the Punisher in a more serious way, where they're like, that's the Punisher. You know, he kills people.
That's very strange,
rather than soft peddling. Because it's funny, like the angry uncle, but when you really think, the Punisher just murders a shit ton of people.
I heard Tom Holland say, though, they wanted to make sure it was good for kids still. So they would have never done that because they were going to have something, I forget, in the movie, but they, the man spider. They decided not to do it because they figured it'd be scary for kids. So I doubt they'd do anything like that with Punisher.
I can see that, but the Punisher's a weird choice for kids, though. Again, or bring back the mercy bullets.
It is.
I'm fine with that, too. Yeah. He has special rounds that just knock people out. I don't need physics to work or what. Just give him mercy bullets and all that stuff back again. I'm fine with the defanged Punisher, too, but it's just weird that to have him be the killer in his own show and in Daredevil, and here he's angry uncle.
It's just like the comics. So yeah,
just like the
didn't
comics.
Bug me any. What bugged me was, I know there's only so many plots, but they like did part of the Thunderbolts ending for this movie again.
Yes.
And I'm like, did we really have to do the thing? It doesn't play with the street level nature. They're like, they don't want to have a movie where
I saw it's just, you're talking about
it's just
the
at the street level. So they have to up the stakes. So they're like, like thousands of people are going to die. No, you don't have to. You don't have to up the stakes. One person is going to die. That's it. You don't need to have this worldwide threat, this universe threat. No, it can just be a story on the streets. You don't need to do that.
Are you talking about the end credit scene?
No. Oh. I'm talking about the main plot with Jean Grey.
Oh.
I don't think Andrew really went into that, but at one point, she's in control of tons and tons and tons and tons of people.
Well, it's also that whole, like...
Because she can't be just in control of 5 people.
Yeah.
It's like, it has to be a huge thing. Yeah. And I'm like, you don't have to do that.
Well, the other thing is, it's that whole, like... Hey, you can't do it alone thing from Thunderbolts. You know, like, you need people in your life.
I know. I mean, we already did that with Thunderbolts. We don't need to do it again. I know people love that, even though they hate the movies. They love that. But I'm like, dude, we just did that.
And you can do it alone. No, that's the... Just being silly. No, but like I said, it helped that my wife liked it even more than I did, I think. And... Yeah, I just, the ending felt kind of, Take a chance, guys. Roll the dice. Do it.
I mean, no, that's a fine message. Like Squirrel Girl, you don't need to punch the bad guy all the time. That's a fine message. That's fine. I know someone will complain about that type of message where you could talk people down or whatever.
I'm going to complain that you like Squirrel Girl.
I've just
Girl.
Seen it in like two different movies recently.
And recent, too. Having them so close together did drive. And one of the characters from there overlaps into both. Although, I think Florence Pugh is such a delight on screen that
Me too.
Like, she really is. I would see her in anything. Like, every time I see her, she just seems really puts herself into whatever role she has. I mean, I'm not her biographer or anything, but I don't know. I always feel like, oh, if she's in a movie, she's going to not phone it in type of thing.
I saw Thunderbolts last week for the first time, and she's probably the main reason I liked it, I'd say.
Yeah, she seems like a fun actress, and I feel like this one also I liked the humor more. I don't remember any of
it's
the
good.
Jokes about like making fun of the comic book part of it. And they love like, oh, your name is Blackagar, Blackagon or whatever, like making fun of the superhero outfits or the names or the conventions. And I thought these jokes weren't at the expense of the comics, which I liked.
Yeah.
Because that part it's
you know what also I love?
What?
I love this outfit.
Yeah.
I love this Spider-Man costume.
And I said I thought the fights looked good, Kevin. What were your thoughts on like how it visually appeared and everything?
I saw one fight where he's fighting like these security guards with like electrical batons or whatever.
Yeah.
And it seemed very on wires. Like it looked very odd to me, that fight. Where other fights I saw looked cool, but I found that one really stood out to me.
Once again, I didn't have a problem with the fight.
Yeah, I thought it was not too fast. Because the problem with Spider-Man in a movie is, if it was being real, it would be too quick to really follow. You know, like the Flash. That's the whole point, is he has the super fast reflexes and everything. But you can't film that in any way that would be understandable unless you just shot everything in slow motion all the time. And that's
I was just
going to
say, Zack Snyder could come in slow motion the thing.
And you can do some of that, you know, Quicksilver or whatever, but no, I don't want to watch every fight scene. It goes in super slow motion so my eyes can track it. But yeah, I thought fun. Yeah, there is a lot of wire work when he fights the hand, Phil. It's a lot of, but I like that stuff. It's fun, playful, guys popping around, running up walls and stuff like that. I don't know. I have a fondness for kung fu movies, so that part doesn't bother me. But I can see how it would be a fair critique, you know. But yeah, I would recommend it. I think it's I think everybody does a solid job. It does leave some weird moments where you're like, so because they don't remember, does that mean that Ned is no longer like an apprentice magician kid? I guess not. So that's all gone. Like, it's weird how the rippling effects of trying to make everything fit is just funny. And as you guys know, I don't really care. I love making fun of like plot threads that never went anywhere or anything like that. But it is, I wonder if in amongst a population of people who aren't used to the casual pickup and dismissal of storylines, if that'll bother anybody, you know, like, hey, they set all that up, or, you know, I just heard they canceled the Blade movie, so any of that stuff, you know, all those end credits and things that never go anywhere. I don't know. It doesn't really, like I said, I mean, I want all that stuff, but it doesn't. If you read comics, you know, they plant crap in there all the time that doesn't go anywhere.
Yeah, controversial statement. I don't know why people wanted a bad Blade movie.
Why would you think
I'd be all for a good Blade movie?
Why do you think it would be bad? You don't like Mahershala Ali is like won like two Oscars or something. Like, I think he's a pretty good actor. Like,
I mean, that's not where my problem was.
I want a Night Stalkers movie.
But I don't know why people are like, oh, they should have made this movie. I'm like, yeah, that's rush out a bad movie. And especially since you think every single movie they make now is bad, why do you want another bad one? I don't know.
If you're worried, I'd be worried about Harry Styles. I mean, maybe he can act, maybe he can't, but I don't know that he's going to be able to have the gravitas to anchor a movie. And like I said, maybe he's a great actor. A lot of singers make that transition, but it always makes me nervous. But no, Ali's a good actor. Like I said, I think he's got two Oscar nods or something. Like, that ain't nothing.
If you can't make a movie, you can't make a movie. I mean, I don't want to see a bad movie.
I think they can make a movie. think they're just lazy, Kevin. Lazy. Give me the movie. I can make a Blade movie. Put my neighbor.
Give me that Inhumans movie.
Exactly. I can turn that ship around. Know exactly where they went wrong.
And I hate the way they're going with Ghost Rider now too. With what's his name? The cast.
Ryan Gosling.
Because I don't want
to
see.
Seems fine to me.
I want Danny Ketch though. Why can't they just do Danny Ketch? Like,
well, you think they're gonna do Johnny again?
Yeah, 100%. I guarantee.
Well, also,
really,
I hope not. I love Johnny Blaze. He's my favorite, but as him with the Hellfire shotgun though, that's the Blaze I like.
But if you need this to succeed, Phil, because he's a pretty expensive actor. So this will lay, like, if he sets this up, then when they want to bring the next guy in, it'll be Danny. You know what I mean? It's that. Yeah. Handoff. So if this you root for this to do really well, he's an expensive guy. They'll be able to get him for a few movies, but
the way I would have done pricey. It. The way I would have done it is I would have had Doctor Strange, another Doctor Strange movie where he puts together the Midnight Suns. Then Ghost Rider and Blaze have a movie together. There's a Night Stalkers movie or like a Marvel special. And then they do a Darkhold TV show where it's an anthology. That's how I would have done it.
I could see that. I mean, I thought I enjoyed the Man Thing special and stuff. But then again,
reintroduce
I was kind of so-so on the
Blade that way and then give him a movie maybe. Because I'm with Kevin on that one. I wasn't excited for that Blade movie. I like the old ones, but I don't know. I think it's going to be hard to pull off Blade again. Because, like, what story are they going to do that's would make it very interesting.
One where he probably doesn't fight vampires or something.
I'm just a sucker for it. I even like the dumb TV show that no one likes.
Me too.
So.
No, I like it. It was good.
I think it's a fun.
But
like,
it was all
premise.
Like vampire politics, basically, yeah. though.
But yeah. It was also him fighting vampires, but nowadays they use martial arts. Like, yeah. I'm totally down with that sort of thing. He could mix it up with monster hunters in general.
But I feel like him with the Night Stalkers, then they have so many other type of things they could fight or, you know, do. It might be a good way to get Blade back in the action, you know. But I feel like they might even go again with a Wesley Snipes legacy movie, you know. That was a rumor why that other Blade movie didn't get started at one point.
Dude, Wesley Snipes is not a young man.
No.
And
no, I wouldn't want to see that.
If either. I've learned anything from Indiana Jones is that some actors need to walk away from action yeah. parts. Like, if you don't.
It's true.
And they're great, you know, they can be great. I love those Blade movies too, but they require a certain amount of physicality.
And I don't rewatch them now, you know.
Oh, I've not a ton, but when did I rewatch? Because I think I got years ago when I went to a show, I had Jimmy Palmiotti sign the little comic that came in it because I thought mm-hmm. it'd be kind of funny. But it turns out he signed like millions of those things. So it was not a clever little funny thing. I was like, oh, I really thought they were. That kind of quick-paced action superhero movie you can have fun with without being
at the time,
all,
yeah, they were
all big,
amazing.
Yeah, Spider-Man, Brand New Day. So, I'd say go watch it, Kevin.
I'd go watch it. There's a lot of good bits in there. So many bits.
In general, Spider-Man movies are just a lot of fun. So,
how much of a minus do you give for no mid-credit scene, though, Kevin?
I don't care.
I like the credit scenes, and I did see these new ones, and I don't know. I thought they were fun.
It's so funny how they can do these Spider-Man movies, but I don't know if you guys saw Morbius or Craven.
No.
Or Madam Web.
No, some
those
of us
movies.
Are
nope.
They're not even like forget the superhero thing. They're just. Like bad action, like they don't even.
Yeah,
it's one thing if you were like it was like Blade, like oh, it's a good action movie, you know, maybe not great in about the comics or whatever, but it's fun, it's action. You get they're just not good. Subtract out the comic book part, they're just kind of dreary bad action movies, and I'm like, whoa, they like why can't they get any? Even if they just did like a plain, okay, we're gonna make Morbius, we'll just make him a vampire and have it be like vampire hunting or, you know, simple. You don't need to overcomplicate it. Just make it a regular, boring vampire movie, you know? But no, they gotta do weird things with all of them. Well, they're worth it if you watch them.
There'll be another one coming, I'm sure, because they got to hold on to the rights that way, right?
I think they don't. I thought they said they're just going to do Spider-Man. Between the cartoon and the movies, they're doing well. And they got three out of the Venom, which I watched. I thought they were better than the other, but that was almost due to Tom Hardy, I feel like, rather than anything else. And I didn't think they were great, but, you know, if they're on TV or something, I'd say watch them. You guys watch any of the Venom ones?
No, I haven't even seen any of those. First
one. Come on, man. You get Carnage.
The Sony ones I tend to avoid.
Well, it's worth a laugh if you like a bad movie. I mean, I think Craven had the problem, too, of just being like the last one. And well, so by and then we were all tired of how boring they were and
plus,
bad.
Look at how bad they made the Rhino. Like, why can't you just do the normal Rhino? You know?
Yeah, there's something like to be researched about why they can't.
Like they say, because it'll look stupid in a normal suit, like doing the real Rhino. But it's like, no, that's not true, because that's what people love, you know?
Well, also,
you're doing comics.
The Scorpion one did that hybrid where he doesn't look like the comics, but he looks more like the comic. So I thought that was a nice compromise of like, yeah, they gave him like a mechanical tail, but he's not in a bright green outfit. Like, you can find a way to mix it together. But anyways, we're babbling, I feel like. I think that's a good Marvel noise, guys. Any last thoughts?
Go on, tell us off, Kevin.
No, I'm sure everyone loved the movie because I didn't love it as much. Isn't that how the thing works or something?
Well, you said people should go see it, so you can't have hated it.
I know.
Unless you hate the people that listen.
No.
Which I hope you don't.
It's like that other Spider-Man movie came out, and then people were just like falling all over themselves, and they're like, yeah, this is the greatest movie ever, even though it's past 2020, you know.
Those people were fools.
It has some kind of hold on
people. And I told them, they're never going to come out with that third cartoon. You people are wasting money giving
no,
it
they
to
are.
Them. Yeah, right, Phil. Sure they are. You just keep holding your breath, Phil. Just keep waiting for Santa Claus to show up. I don't know why. I mean,
hey,
well, it just
I'm
takes
getting
forever.
My afterlife with Archie, so anything can happen.
Are you sure you're getting that?
Yeah, I'm getting a TV show next year. On Disney Plus. So
wow.
Guess what?
Okay.
That might finish my story and I'll take it.
Buddy. Thanks for listening.
Later.